following program is brought to you in living color.
Let's start drinking.
Oh, not so fast. In order for the tannins to mellow, we should let it breathe for about 30 minutes.
Freaking tannins.
Now here's a bottle of wine that's really a bottle of wine. This was made by our Iceman's grandfather. Same as he used to do in the old country. He puts the grapes in the bathtub and he jumps on them. I saw him do it.
Why didn't he take his socks off?
The last chunk will suck the will right out ya. Hold on, Lord, I can't do without ya. Seems like a lot of gray in the world. Women, white song, women, white song will make it all move along to a lovely B&E.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. Now, here's your host, Laura Lawson.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our coming into its own little skin grape. And if you're wondering why I'm rushing through my opening today, Mr. Bernhardt is ready to go.
Did I rush you along a little bit? Did I cause you to throw it into high gear in there?
Just a small amount. You know, it's amazing. I know all of you have people in your life who are like this, that nothing is going to move until they decide it's time to move. But, buddy, once they decide it's time to move, everybody, all hands on deck. Doesn't matter who I'm talking to in the hall. Doesn't matter bosses, anyone else around.
Yeah.
That music starts.
Nope, music starts.
Sprint.
Time for the show.
Yes.
You know, you don't remember from my radio days.
No,
but
I
was
not.
Notorious for, like, Doug was on before me, our boss.
Okay.
Doug was on before me, and Doug's shift would end. He would start my first record. I was notorious for driving down the street listening to my first record.
Outstanding.
On the way to the building.
There was a lot of long play in that, wasn't there?
Yes, a lot of show prep for Kent.
Yes. Well, back then, what, with the Boston Philharmonica, that was probably
the only thing. You could play MacArthur Park and maybe Kent would make it in by the end of that. That would be good.
Well, at least I know where you got your practice. All right. You are listening to the show that's all about wine, all about grapes, and that is definitely wine without the H. We have a great guest today. We have Miss Catherine Cole joining us, and she's got an interesting perspective. She had already written the book Voodoo Vintners. Her new book, How to Fake Your Way Through a Wine List and Sound Like an Expert.
She sounds like somebody I should really listen to.
And
I would love to ask her a few questions.
I figure if nothing else, she can cliff note the version for Kent. He can survive. But no, I think it's going to be a great, great guest to give us some insight into a wine list. And although that is not how I planned the show to go this week, based on listener questions, based on some commentary we have had, I think that's probably the direction we're going to go, is discussing wine list. How to read them, how to deal with them, how to navigate them. I know we've done shows like this before, but there are some interesting takes. So we shall see on that.
What percentage of the people who go into a restaurant look at a wine list actually have any clue of what they're looking at?
Well,
I mean, you like to think that we're all a little educated about wine lists, but
okay, well,
when I look at a wine list, I don't know.
Well, I've been with you. You're like, just
like
give me
the blind leading the blind here.
No, well, here's the thing, and this goes into today's topic in a roundabout way. Let's start here. I will get around to answering your question, I swear.
Thank you.
Almost as promptly as you got my butt in the
That's
chair.
That's right, okay.
But hats off to us. It is now official. In 2015, Americans consume more wine than any other nation per capita in the world. We officially drink more wine than anybody else, more than the French, more than the Italian, more than the Brits, more than the Aussies, more than the Germans. So we do consume
more. We are catching up.
Yes. Now, Italians produce more. We drink more. Hmm. So because of that, I want to say that we're becoming more wine conscious. I wish I could say it was wine driving this, but to answer your question, I have seen and continuing to see the death of wine list, which I don't think is a bad thing. However, I am seeing beverage list everywhere. Hmm. So whereas in the past, you'd go in, if you were a liquor drinker, if you were a beer drinker, you'd say to the bartender, you'll say to the server, I'll take a Bud Light, I'll take a gin and tonic, I will take a Manhattan. But those days aren't really as current as what we're seeing now. You walk in, I've been traveling lately, I'm a little bit brain dead, I've been over toward the West Coast, and everyone I went out with, nobody could say, hey, I'll have a Bud Light, hey, I'll have a Coors Light, hey, I'll have a gin and tonic.
Mm-hmm.
Can I see your list? What's the house specialty? What wine list do you have? What wine Chardonnay do you have by the glass? What spirits do you have? Do you have Hendrix? Do you have cucumber? What is your, you tell me what I'm drinking. And it's the most interaction I have seen between servers and bartenders in ages, ultimately. So when you ask me what percentage of people go in and get a wine list, I would say 80% of people who are going out to have a night of entertainment that involved alcohol, I would say 80% of them touch a list at some point.
Okay.
Now, we'll have to get into other discussions on
and know
shows.
What they're reading, know what they're doing, know what they're looking for from what's on the list.
But here's the thing, is because people have gotten into beverage lists, if you had asked me, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago, if it was acceptable to have something muddled, if I had a simple sugar, what ginger beer was, I'm not sure I could tell you. But what's happened is because people are getting creative with their beverages and the cocktail has had its rise and the craft cocktails are coming forward and God knows beers have been resurrected, they realize that the way to get people turned on to this, the people who are creating these beverage programs, they boil it down, they make it simple. They know that if I sit down and I look at a description for some kind of vodka drink that is has something called ugly fruit roasted seeds in it, and I don't know what ugly fruit roasted seeds are, I'm not going to order it. But if they explain and give me cocktail descriptions the way they used to give wine descriptions, oh, wait, hey, I like that. That sounds good. Or smoke-infused bourbon. Or what was my favorite I just saw? Simple syrup, bullet bourbon, smoked ice, and bacon. That was actually
bacon?
Bacon.
Hmm.
And it was hickory smoked bacon, by the way. That was the garnish on this drink. But because I could sit down and read it, whereas I might order just a bourbon neat or I might go ahead and get a neat scotch, I said, ooh, well, I've got to try that. Anytime you put pig into my beverage, it's bound to be interesting. So
it's unusual.
I think because the fact that people are being adventurous, they want to try something outside the norm, everybody touches a beverage list.
Okay.
Everybody.
Everybody.
What's interesting is how the formats on those are changing, whether they're coming electronically, whether they're on a chalkboard, whether they are printed. I think we see a lot of things changing. Hey, for those of you out there who do beverage list on a chalkboard, understand this. You are catering to the older generation, in a sense. And we can argue about what the definition of older generation. But those of you who put your beverage list on a chalkboard, stop writing in cursive. Because us short people who are at 50, we can't read it from a distance. So you may have the best drink, the best wine list on the planet, but if us shorter people who are basically going to be 15 feet away from that chalkboard can't read cursive from 15 feet up without our glasses, you're on your own. You've lost money.
You're right.
So there's your small little aside.
I agree.
But hopefully Miss Catherine Cole can help us through that. Well, I was recently out on the West Coast, and it was interesting to talk about all these beverages. I was at a convention, and the convention was spotlighting old products, new products, everything under the sun when it comes to the alcohol industry. I think one of the most fascinating things I came away with, of all the rooms, of everything I saw, there is something new on the market, alcoholic ice cream.
Really?
I never got a chance to really spend time in this room and taste this product. But of all things I didn't understand, it was this one. Who are you marketing to? Where are you going to sell it? How has MAD not come against you? What are you going to do with this? I mean,
is this in a place where children would never be? Or was it someplace
public?
Well,
that's just it. You think about any kind of true bar out there. I mean, a bar, not necessarily going to have a freezer. Is the bartender going to run back and grab the ice cream out of the freezer? All right, I think it was TGI Fridays, and I apologize to the franchise when I get this wrong. They started out with mudslides, and I think it was Fridays or TGI Fridays or Thank God It's Fridays, whatever the first manifestation of that was in the 80s, and they had a drink called a mudslide that was ice cream-based. And I remember that. I remember as a kid, seeing the person at the table, a kid, not 21, having that and wanting that. And I'm just thinking to myself, here we are all upset over home delivery on alcohol. Here we're upset over taxes, over Amazon getting in the business. over an issue I'll discuss about Starbucks and Taco Bell selling alcohol, but we're going to put alcohol in ice cream and we're going to allow this. We're going to allow this out.
That's a reach.
It is a reach, and yeah. I don't really know what to do with it. But again,
all these open container laws. Now you've got open cone laws. Just going to get crazy out there.
Well, that was, of course, you know, a big old milkshake made with alcohol. They do it. I've seen all the specialty drinks, you know, cream de menthe. But is that going to be it? Would it be an ice cream cone walking down the boardwalk? You never know.
Well, you never know.
But among other things, that was one of the most interesting things. But also, the people and the packaging that's being used to sell alcohol. Here we are. We have the craft resurgence. We just discussed that, the neat beverage list, the people putting drinks together that are very special. And yet you have all this unique packaging. And whether it was Channing Tatum, Nicki Minaj, Bethany Frankel, all these celebrities touting their own products, how is that impacting you when you go into a restaurant? If I go into a restaurant and I look down at a wine list and I look down at a beverage list, am I going to try something because Bethany Frankel made it? Here's a good example of this. And I think this is probably, it's one of the foremost, actually two of them come to mind right now. Obviously, we talked last show about Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Miraval Rosé. Great product, even by itself, by its lonesome. Doesn't matter that you have the Jolie Pitt, whatever name phrase we're going with. I think it's great they own it, but it doesn't impact the fact what's in the bottle is good. Same thing, Cutie Pie, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
She makes a Pinot Grigio.
Oh, she does.
She does. And what's in the bottle is great. She was just out at Pebble Beach pouring her own wine. And it doesn't matter. I see Barrymore Pinot Grigio. I'm not buying it because Drew made it, but because it's good. Now, no, not being ugly to Channing Tatum, but am I going to drink his vodka because the vodka's good or because I like Channing Tatum? That goes 50-50 on that. So I think that when we're looking at packaging, when we're looking at influencing purchasing decisions, you, the person who are staring at the beverage list, who are staring at the wine list, have to decide first and foremost, am I after this for the image or am I after this for the taste? And I assume if you're listening to the Wine Crush, you're after it for the taste. And so as such, we need to make sure our restaurateurs, the people who are creating these wonderful drinks, the people who are creating the brands, understand that if it's not in the bottle, don't waste my time. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right here. When we get back, we will discuss a little bit more about wine list, how it impacts you, and actually have a great listener question to share with all of you.
Compare cars and save searches on AutoTrader. You'll get a text alert when AutoTrader finds your perfect match.
Attention business owners, we know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back for more of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are looking at how we drink and how we order things off a wine list and how all those things come together to motivate us into buying. And of course, I do mean it. If it's not in the bottle, why waste my time? But hats off. We're going to tie all this together. A cheers going out to Behringer Winery. It is 140 years old this past weekend.
Wow.
140, the Behringer brothers came over, built their winery. And of course, we all talk about the upstart that California is, but Behringer certainly is legendary. So to me, when I'm looking at a wine list and I see a name, Behringer, it's going to hold and captivate my interest simply because I know there's history, I know there's longevity, and I know that there's quality behind the label.
They would not still be around if they weren't doing something right.
Exactly. So that's something to think about. Again, goes back to the Jolie Pitt thing. Merival, yes. Jolie Pitt, no. However you want to look at it, but it's got to be in the bottle. Now, again, hats off to Behringer, 140 years. They made it through Prohibition. They made it through everything else. But how does that translate to you? How does that, when you sit down and you look at a wine list, do you share the same notion and thought that I do? I look at Behringer. I see Behringer has a new brand, Waymaker, out. Am I going to be interested in trying that? Absolutely. Is there any confusion in that? No. So let's talk a little bit further. You know me, I like stupid news.
Yes.
About analyzing this wine list. So, Kent, I don't know if you can relate to either one of these. Say I have handed you a beverage list.
Okay.
And you are looking at the beverage list and you have a number of choices on wines. One is a wine called Duck Commander. The other wine is called Duck Horn.
All right.
Do you have a notion of what Duck Commander wine is going to be?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. Unless it's tied somehow to the reality TV show.
Exactly. And it is.
That was the other one.
No, the other one is Duck Horn. Dan Duck Horn has his own wine. And that's what I think is fascinating, is that one way or the other, I think in today's mobile society, that if you saw those two names side by side, I could go out and do a man on the street poll. And one extreme or the other would know Duck Horn, Duck Commander. Anyone who knew about wine would know Duckhorn Merlot, Duckhorn Sauvignon Blanc. Dan Duckhorn has always set the bar for what is Merlot. Duck Commander, I don't follow very much. I know there's camouflage involved, and I know there's some kind of beards.
Right.
But the point being is when you're reading the wine list, they just got it. This is kind of an old story. The lawsuit was settled in 2014. But Dan Duckhorn did sue Duck Commander because there was some infringement on his name. And I think when
does
I
he
read...
own the word duck?
Yeah. But my question becomes, you've got to assume that the consumer has more sense. And I think that's where we're falling into these horrible categories. And this is why we're seeing things like alcoholic ice cream. This is why we're seeing vodka bottles that are shaped like naked women. That's why we're seeing people go into court over the difference between Duck Commander and Duckhorn. Is I really think that a lot of these brands are assuming the general public is just stupid. Now, I have had my day standing in line at the DMV where I'm convinced the room IQ might be 10.
Yes, yes.
But I have never deigned to actually believe everybody is that ignorant.
I have said this, though. We are sheep. We truly are. We're not stupid necessarily, but we will follow the loudest, shiniest, you know.
Oh, you find me a shiny object, I'm going to go after
sure.
it.
We'll go.
But ultimately, when we look at this, and this goes back to the whole point of reading a wine list, I think that because you have the beverage list, because you have the wine list in front of you, just by sheer osmosis, if you touch enough of them, you're going to learn about wine. Anyone, anywhere about wine is going to know that there is no similarities whatsoever between Duck Commander White Zinfandel, which was sold at Walmart and was part of the Duckhorn or Duck Commander.
The Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, thank you. And Duckhorn, who's a legendary winemaker, there's not going to be confusion between the two. But again, it goes back to reading a wine list. And I think the more we have brands that think that the general public can't, the more we're going to run into wine list and beverage list that are non-navigable because we have to be cautious with it. I want to know what you think. Do you think that there's any merit or there's any confusion between looking at the brand name Duckhorn and a brand called Duck Commander? 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Of course, you're always welcome to get the softer side and get to Kent, KentBarnhart at winecrush.com.
I'll be nicer to you.
Yes. But ultimately, I think obviously we're going to have Catherine come on and help us navigate a wine list. So how can we understand a wine list? But I think first and foremost that those that are behind the brands, those that are behind the wines and the liquors and the spirits and the bourbons and the beers that we love, please know that we do have an ounce of intelligence. We can figure some things out on our own. We're going to take a break right here. When we return, we'll be joined by Miss Catherine Cole.
There's no one in the world quite like you. That's why your search for a car is more than just, well, a search for a car. It's about finding the perfect car for you. The right car to carry you on the journey to your dreams. At Auto Trader, you can compare new and used cars and save your searches along the way. Auto Trader will send you cars that match what you're looking for. And they'll even let you know when the price drops on a car you've saved. Auto Trader, the only car search engine driven by you.
Get peace of mind and a $100 Visa gift card free right now by calling Alliance Home Security. Have us install our home security system for free. Sign up for our monitoring service and get a $100 Visa gift card for free. No gimmicks. Call now and get your free Visa gift card. 1-800-505-3470. That's 1-800-505-3470. Ask us to install your home security system and get a $100 Visa gift card. 1-800-505-3470. Call right now.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
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 I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle.
Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Oh. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
We missed you. Now it's more of the Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush. And right now we have an amazing woman who can tell you how to fake your way through a wine list and to sound like an expert. Definitely someone's help who I need. Catherine Cole, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. I'm so excited to be here.
Are you kidding? With a title like that for your book, Kent is just salivating. Kent is so excited. I'm so excited. I mean, I like it. It's direct. It's to the point. And what more could we ask for? So thank you for joining us today. Hey, for our listeners, if you don't mind, before we get into the meat of the matter, let them know who is Catherine Cole and how are you intimately involved in the wine world?
Oh, my. Well, I was until recently the wine columnist for the Oregonian newspaper. I recently left the Oregonian because newspapers are not a good business to be in anymore. but I did just finish writing my fourth book on wine. My most recent book is about rosé, so that was really fun. And I'm just continuing to blog and write about wine. So I've been in the business a long time.
Perfect. It's always nice when you get that fourth book. Ironically enough, we did Rosés Around the World a couple of weeks ago, and it just fostered so many comments and people so excited. So without a doubt, that's up and coming. But for today, what we're looking at is we've had some round robin discussions about wine list and how beverage list, I think we all probably need to change it if you've gone to a restaurant lately, how beverage lists are impacting us, how people are writing them. Personally, how I think that sometimes some of our brand and marketers think that the general public is stupid, how they're actually writing some of these wine lists. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, what is the most important thing that anyone can think about when they pick up that wine list to make them feel like, one, they know what they're doing, and two, that they're going to have a good experience?
You know, I think we all just need to take a deep breath and turn the tables sort of in our minds, because we look at these wine lists and we feel intimidated, and we need to just tell ourselves, you know, this server or sommelier or wine director, they need to sell the wine. So they need to sell me on the wine. It's not, the onus is not on me to know what this is. It's not my job to know what to order. So we just kind of have to mentally allow ourselves to put the ball in their court. I think we all just assume the ball's in our court, and we're like, what do I do with this? How do I read this? And it's really not our responsibility. So that's the most important thing.
Out of all my years in the business, I don't think I've ever really heard or taken that tact with it, but you are 100% correct. Somebody in that restaurant, that bar, that establishment has put time and effort in putting that list together because it's what they think we're going to like. So that means it's their job to defend their opinion. I like it. I absolutely like it. So what advice do you have? Kent is here. He would, like I said, he was all excited. He is not much of a, I've tried to make him a savant over the years. Now I just, if I can keep him from being an idiot, I consider myself
blessed.
I'm
a wine novice. Don't use the word idiot.
So
wine novice.
In doing that.
I don't believe in this language, folks. Nobody should have any shame or guilt about wine. Wine's supposed to be fun.
Thank you very much.
Are you kidding? He's so happy it's clean language that the FCC is not going to get involved in. He's thrilled this morning. All right. So looking at this, advice for someone, a novice like Kent, who does not know when he picks up a wine list, red from white, what are the best tacks? What are the best pieces of small bit advice you can give to people when encountering that list?
You know, the one thing I always tell people is, don't worry about impressing anyone. I always say go for the wine that looks the most exotic to you, where the name just looks like, what is this? I've never seen anything like this before, especially if the price is on the lower end, because I find that usually a wine buyer will put something that they just personally love that's really kind of geeky and weird on the list. Maybe it's from an up-and-coming country like Bulgaria or someplace, and it'll be a little cheaper. And I always find if I ask about that wine and end up ordering it, the sommelier or wine or server or wine director will have a little smile and a little twinkle in their eye, and they'll be really happy to talk about it because it's kind of a personal cause for them. So even if you have no idea what you're reading, if you just say, hey, what is this? I've never seen this before. I'm willing to bet 10 times out of 10 you're going to make that person happy because they're going to share some information about something that they find super interesting.
I think you do hit the nail on the head. I've got a lot of friends who always, they can have the most big name brand wine list, California Cabernets, they're in a steakhouse. Invariably, it's kind of like sticking the Kilroy Was Here logo somewhere. They all have slipped something in, whether it's a little Bouzé, whether it's a little Aligoté, it's always there. That weird one, you do a double take and say, why is this here? Who let this in the room? So I definitely agree with that. Obviously, something motivated you. What made you decide to write a book on how to fake your way through a wine list? Was there a traumatic experience? Is there a story behind it? Were you having friends with questions? What was the impetus for this?
You know, I don't want to get too gendered in this conversation, but I do find that women come up to me in parties. Actually, I'm going to back up and say it's like when I go to a party and meet a doctor, I mean, I think everyone does this. You're like, oh my gosh, you're a doctor. Tell me what's wrong with me. Like, and you'll go through.
God, the poor guy never would have that many hours. Please don't let me run into a psychiatrist anytime soon.
Oh yeah, really. Or what's wrong with my kid? My kid does this and that. So I find that people do that with me at cocktail parties, and particularly women. And it's really frustrating to me because wine is just supposed to be fun and relaxing and pleasurable. And for whatever reason, and I could talk to you for hours about why I think this is, but for whatever reason, women tend to have this self-doubt around wine and feel like they're inadequate because they don't have enough information. And I just wanted to put this out there for all of my friends, you know, all these busy young professionals who don't have time to just take a million wine courses, just to make them know that there's a fun way to just dig in and you don't have to get stressed out about it or feel any sort of guilt or shame. No guilt, no shame.
Well, I can answer that question for you right off. I have a concrete answer, and it's baseline of mine and Kent's relationship over the years. Women want to know about wine. They come to you and ask the questions because, let's face facts, women actually want to know what they're talking about. Unlike men who just are going to make it up off the cuff, don't really care.
Point of order.
Yes.
Gee. Women talk about wine. Men do not. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with another man about wine. Now, is that unusual?
That is exactly, there have been studies about this. There was an article in Wine Business Monthly a couple of years ago about this, where they did a study, and men said that they do, it's a personal thing for them, and they like to catalog their wine. They like to look up the scores. They like to know how rare it is. They like to organize their wine cellar, and it's a personal pleasure for them. Whereas for women, they connect with wine socially and emotionally. So they want, when they talk about why they buy wine, it's to bring it to book club. It's to bring it to a gathering with my friends. And men don't list those reasons when they talk about why they buy wine. They say, I buy it so I can put it in my cellar. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah. It becomes a conquest. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about my Excel spreadsheet. So, yeah, you're correct.
It makes perfect sense all the way around. I do agree with you. I think that women tend to, well, okay, here's the thing. I got on this about 2 years ago. It became my personal mission. Invariably, my husband and I would go out to dinner. And as we sat down to dinner, if we were someplace where they didn't know us, the person who sat down would always hand the wine list to my husband. And it got to the point where it drove me absolutely batty. We have to take a quick break right here, Catherine. But I do, when we get back, want to pick up. Do you think one of the reasons that women aren't comfortable with the wine list is because they haven't had as much exposure to it? They haven't had to be subjected to it? Give that some thought. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back from these commercials, we will look to Catherine Cole's answer on why women are less comfortable with the wine list than they should be.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. 800-698-7191. 800-698-7191. 800-698-7191. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-809-5785.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-809-5785. That's 1-800-809-5785.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit the shelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Here Here we are again. It's The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We are mid-stride with Miss Catherine Cole. She is the mastermind behind How to Fake Your Way Through a Wine List and Sound Like an Expert. All right, Catherine, before we took a commercial break, I had asked you a question just off the cuff about women not being comfortable with lists. Do you think it is for so long that we didn't have access to it, or just because we're not as comfortable as we need to be?
I think you're correct in the access point because, you know, I had to give a speech about this recently, and I did some thinking, and I thought, you know, we know that wine has been made for at least 8,000 years. So let's say there's been a wine trade for 4,000 or 5,000 years. Women were not allowed access to that trade, and they were not allowed to make buying decisions until like 50 years ago. So for it's just been so long that men have been in charge of this industry. So of course we're just trying to catch up. And I believe that the way the trade is organized and the language that is used in the trade reflects that we're still trying to catch up and make ourselves a part of this.
I think it's logical. Now, look, we have to get back to it because, all right, to fake your way through a wine list, obviously, we're intimating there's a right way and a wrong way to get through a wine list. And I know they can be intimidating, whether you're male or female. But how do you sound like an expert? How do you espouse that people who are reading this list can sound like an expert by reading your book or by going through a wine list? What is key to that?
Well, you know, I think something key with a wine list is if you can go in there and boldly state to your dining companions that everything they think about wine is wrong, you'll impress them. And I say that in that people go into a restaurant and think the most expensive wine is the best. The wine that gets the best score must be the best. The reserve must be the best. You know, we can only order from a great vintage, so let's figure out what the great vintage is. And we get caught up in all these things, these questions, and it turns out that people who are actually in the industry ignore all of this and, in fact, do the opposite. So as a member of the industry, I kind of look for the weak vintages because I know if it's a good producer, it'll probably be, you know, a great price. And I don't think vintage really matters so much anymore now that viticulture is so advanced. Typically, I don't really like the reserve, and it usually isn't worth paying extra money for. So I think one way you can impress your dining companions and just kind of get over your hangups is just tell yourself, you know what, all my assumptions are wrong, and I'm just going to go for a good value.
I think that holds true for everybody. And for those of you, obviously, Catherine's in the industry. She's encountered her number of questions over the years. I am, too. It's always fascinating. Two quick stories that come to mind. I was recently on the West Coast, was dining out, and I was with a group of people who were more spirits-driven than wine. So when the wine list came to the table, they handed it to me. And I was going through. I looked through it, and I saw something on the wine list I did not know. And I looked at it, but instead of being scared by it, I'm like, what is this? How do I not know what it is? The moment the server came over the table, everyone's waiting for this great pronouncement. I look at the server, I say, what is this? And I think people are scared to not know. Look, a true wine expert, a true person who knows anything about wine, the first thing they're going to do if they don't recognize something is ask, because maybe, just like Catherine opened with talking about the hidden gem that someone buries, that's a good way to find it. So, yes, I think one of the best ways to look like an expert is ask questions. Hey, Catherine, I couldn't agree with you. Part of it decided for itself, and the fact that 9 out of 10 times I didn't have reading glasses with me, but I don't even look at vintages anymore. I do not.
Oh, no.
I will take that back. If I am at a wine, if I am at a restaurant that has a huge wine list, a phone book wine list, I will look at the vintages on the whites to make sure I am not ordering a 2008 Chardonnay. But other than that, I don't care. I'm with you. We've made such great progress. We have made wines that are approachable, especially when we look at the new world, the blends, the fact we're not 100% Cabernet. They're putting Merlot. They're putting Malbec. They're putting other friends in there. I think everything is drinkable. And yes, Mother Nature plays a hand, but vintage is not the end-all be-all. It just is not.
No. So,
as we start to wind this down, and obviously I picked your brain from different angles, I haven't had the opportunity to read your book all the way through yet. What is your conclusion? What, again, is the one resounding factor that will carry you through when you're at that dinner party, when people are coming up and asking advice? What's the one piece you tell people who are learning about wine that they absolutely can't live without?
Just getting back to that idea of embracing the unknown. Instead of being afraid of something you don't know, embrace it and just go for it and impress people by asking questions. I think I'm just going to repeat what you just said. Just be curious. And also, I guess the other sort of underlying message of the book is, I would, to get back to speaking about the difference between women and men and how we connect, women connect emotionally with wine. So the book has a lot of ways that we can connect emotionally. Remember a trip you took, think of a favorite artist. Is there some way you can tie your personal emotional experience to a wine? And then that way you'll know more about it. You'll feel more intimate with it. For example, if you think of if you ever took a trip to Venice and you had a Bellini or a Spritz, well, that's a good way to remember that the Veneto, where Prosecco is from, is near Venice, and you'll always remember that region. So kind of going about wine that way instead of the Excel spreadsheet.
I like it, and I think it's brilliant. Well, Catherine, thank you for being part of The Crush today. Excited to hear about your new book coming out. We get it out. We get it released. We'll have to talk to you, and we'll have everything coming up pink on The Crush here again.
Thanks for having me, Laura. I really appreciate it.
All right. Hey, we're going to take another quick break on The Crush. When we return, we will look back on today's show and we will plan ahead to the exciting endeavors we have coming in this month.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com. There's no one in the world quite like you. That's why your search for a car is more than just, well, a search for a car. It's about finding the perfect car for you. The right car to carry you on the journey to your dreams. At Auto Trader, you can compare new and used cars and save your searches along the way. Auto Trader will send you cars that match what you're looking for, and they'll even let you know when the price drops on a car you've saved. Auto Trader, the only car search engine driven by you.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
800-296-1294. 800-296-1294. 800-296-1294. Once again, that's 800-296-1294.
Get peace of mind and a $100 Visa gift card free right now by calling Alliance Home Security. Have us install our home security system for free, sign up for our monitoring service, and get a $100 Visa gift card for free. No gimmicks. Call now and get your free Visa gift card. 1-800-505-3470. That's 1-800-505-3470. Ask us to install your home security system and get a $100 Visa gift card. 1-800-505-3470. Call right now.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
We continue with another exciting episode of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And that charming young lady was Miss Catherine Cole. And I think she's done a great service to all of us by helping us tie up today's show. When you are looking at brands, when you're looking at wine lists, when you're analyzing things for you to order or try, three things to put together. Be curious. Ask questions. And believe it or not, get emotionally involved. I think all three of those pieces of advice will carry you well, whether it's a wine list, whether it's a beverage list, whether it's your own wine experiences. But it goes back in route all the way through of not assuming and not staying silent. Because if you assume that everybody around the table knows what's in that bottle, if you assume that everybody knows about that wine but you, how are you ever going to learn? How are you ever going to know? Do not suffer in silence anymore. Ask the questions. Hey, and be aware of being emotionally involved. Part of what I was seeing when I was at my convention was looking whether it was Nicki Minaj, whether it was Channing Tatum, whether it was vodka from Dan Aykroyd, anybody who was involved in that. People were excited. They were emotionally involved in that actor, that movie, that singer, whatever it was that these people had to offer. Because they were emotionally involved, they tied in. And that's what we're coming full circle on, is because doesn't matter. Yes, we want what's in the bottle to be good and be redeeming, but if we can't relate to the beverage, if we can't relate to the food, if we can't relate to the experience, if we can't relate to the dining, then how does it factor into our life? And of course, if we can't relate to it and we're not willing to learn, we haven't broadened horizons. And that's one of the biggest things we have to do to broaden horizons. Real quick, user commentary all the way through. To go back to wine list, to go back to looking at it, what would you change? As you walk into restaurants, as you walk into bars, as you walk into retail shops, and you're handed list of what they sell, is there a user-friendly way to approach a beverage program? Is there a better way to write a wine list? Help us rewrite a mousetrap. Help us create the best mousetrap so that we can always have the best dining and beverage experience for you. As always, here in The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.